Message that I preached here, we began a study in the book of Titus, a very brief and compact, digestible and understandable book. And I've entitled this series through the book of Titus, Practical Help for the Church. Practical Help for the Church. And by church, I mean every biblical and Christian church. From the churches on the island of Crete between 62 and 64 to First Presbyterian Church in Jasper, Indiana, 2023. That is to say that the scriptures here are as valuable to us as it was to them. That is to say that the Word of God has no expiration date. And so this morning we're going to be looking together at Titus chapter 1. Verse 5. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Titus chapter 1 as we will, by God's help, look together at the purpose of elders and secondly, the plurality of elders. We're going to be looking at a whopping one verse this morning. And that is not a sign of things to come. I do not unleash God's word one thought and one verse at a time. I will leave that to men like John MacArthur, whom I have much respect for. I'm a propositional preacher. I want to find what the big idea of the text is and bring that out. And furthermore, if we took one verse every Sunday, we would certainly not be done by the end of the year. But in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, we hear these words. In fact, let me start with verse 1 so we can get a running start of where we left off 2 weeks ago. Listen now, for this is the very inerrant, inspired, authoritative Word of God. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was commanded to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I have commanded you. Let's pray. Merciful Lord, we thank you. We thank you, dear God, for this time of coming together, of worship, and of looking into your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have stirred my heart over the last several weeks in study and preparation, not only of the book of Titus, but even this morning's message. It's my clear prayer, Lord, that you will give me the words to speak, that we would hear the very words of God, as we already have, and that the church here in Jasper would hear these things, and that it would be bread to their hungry hearts, that it would feed them, Father God, and that you would feed all of us, even now. We pray, Lord, that you give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to this church, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was drawn to the book of Titus in knowing that I would be here several weeks. I was drawn to the book of Titus, particularly because of the content of verse 1. And so we're going to, chapter 1, I should say. So we are going to spend quite a bit of time going through chapter 1, and then there'll be other sections that we will get into in more broader strokes. But we have before us this morning in verse 5, the purpose statement of the book, or the purpose verse of the book. And not only does it speak volumes to the church of Crete, but I believe that it speaks volumes to the church in Jasper. And so this morning, again, by God's grace, we're going to look at 2 points, the purpose of elders, and secondly, the plurality of elders. The purpose of elders and the plurality of elders. Look at the text, verse 5. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city, as I have commanded you. So Paul is writing this letter. He is writing it to Titus, and he says that I have left you in Crete. Number one, to set in order the things that are lacking, and number two, to appoint elders in every city. A twofold task in one verse. We have this word here, elder. The word elder literally means an older person. Or as the Complete Word Study Dictionary says, a person of ripe age and experience who were called to take part in the management of public affairs. The term elder was used to define or describe members of the Sanhedrin and the Jewish councils. And here we see it again, as we see it in other places in the New Testament, a word used to describe men appointed to the office of elder. The word elder is the word presbyteros. And it is the Greek word where we get our word Presbyterian. I have occasionally run across churches by the name Presbyterian that are not elder-led. It defeats the whole purpose of being Presbyterian if we're not elder-led. The word presbyteros, where we get the word Presbyterian, speaks of the structure of the government. That is, that it is led by elders. Elders. So much so, to just make some application, I know that you're not in the Presbyterian Church of America, and that's fine. But the Presbyterian Church of America sees, biblically so, such importance on having elders established and functioning and working that in their estimation, if a church does not have elders, if it does not have that government, if it is not presbyteros, if it is not elder ran, then in their language, it's not a particularized church, and that's not just PCA language, but it's a mission church, and conversations could be had about that. But I think really the point is that if we don't have leadership, then there's not going to be much fellowship. There's not fellowship, followship. There's not going to be much direction for the church if those serving are not in place. And so we have this very idea of being Presbyterian because it means to be elder-led. And the purpose of an elder, we have this title of an elder, verse 7. And if you let your eyes glance down below or across the page, whatever the case may be, to verse 7, you'll see a different word, bishop. It says, for a bishop must be blameless and a steward of God, etc., etc. Well, the word bishop comes from the Greek word episkopos, which sounds a lot like Episcopalian. Just like presbyteros sounds a lot like Presbyterian. Both, ironically or providentially, speak of how the church government is led. An Episcopal church has a bishop or an archbishop or a presiding bishop and even bishops over those bishops, and it's kind of like a tier down. Well, this word bishop, and we'll get to this when we come to that text, but the word bishop speaks of the function. The title is elder, bishop is the function. We see in our text that Paul tasked Timothy with setting in order things that are lacking and appointing elders in every city as I commanded you. In every city. So we might think about that in terms of a parish, which is actually, or a county, or a city, or our town, an area. This is the area where this church is planted, and this is where that outreach is going to happen. And Paul said, we are going to appoint elders in every city. And so in other places in Scripture, we see where God says that to shepherd the flock of God who are among you. So it's local. It's local eldership. It's local leadership. The title, if you will, is elder, but the function is overseeing. That's what the word bishop means, to oversee. And what do those elders do? How do they function? They serve as overseers of the souls that they have been entrusted with. Not overseers of the world. We're not police of the world, though sometimes we might think we are, or we think that sometimes they should listen as if we were. But in all actuality, that role of elder, that function of oversight, of shepherding, of pastoring, these are synonyms for the same role, the same man, the same task. They're not different whatsoever. Elders' purpose is to shepherd the flock of God that is among you and who have been made overseers over those souls. So the purpose of elder is to rule, is to lead, is to serve. And the text here and the text going forward, we'll deal with that more, but this is kind of introductory matter. When we're confronted with a word that we've not explored, at least then I want to pause and I want us to look at that and just kind of take it as we go. As far as the purpose of an elder, there's a lot more purpose than just this. But consider this a sneak preview, if you will, because this was why Paul left Titus in Crete, to establish, or the word appoint, elders. And notice that is plural. So I want us to move from talking about the purpose of elders to the plurality of elders. Again, notice that they are to appoint elders, not an elder, but elders. And we see this other places. You don't have to turn to these passages, but I want to at least read these words so that you don't just take my word for it. In Acts chapter 20, verse 17, it says, from Miletus, this is Paul speaking, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he begins, Peter saying, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder. See, Peter is saying, I am a fellow elder with the other elders. It's never singular. That's the point. It's never singular. It's never one elder doing things. It's a plurality of elders. And I thought it was interesting, maybe you do as well, that this letter was written to one elder. Verse 4, to Titus, a true son in our common faith. And we didn't really unpack that the last time, but it's clear who it's written to. It's written by Paul. It's written to Titus, who has the common faith in Jesus Christ, the belief of Christ crucified, dead, and resurrected from the dead, ascended into heaven, and the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. It is clear that the common faith is that faith that was once for all delivered to the saints of God. But it looks very singular, doesn't it? To Titus. And I thought about that as I was exploring these verses over the last couple of weeks and looking and deciding, well, I'm not going to get past verse 5 if I really unpack this correctly. And I thought, well, we're talking about this plurality of elders, but this letter is written to one elder. What's going on there? And of course, in context, we should always read the entire book. And I hope that you are doing that. And if you've not begun that, I would encourage you to do so. But he writes to Titus, a true son in our common faith. But if you will go to the end of the book, and this is just an example of why you don't want to come to conclusions at the beginning of the book simply as it unfolds. We want to have the whole message before us. And these final, which will be my final sermon when we get there. But in chapter 3, beginning with verse 12, we see that Titus is not alone. There is a plurality of elders. Paul writes, verse 12 of chapter 3, "When I send Artemas to you, or Tychius, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful." So here, at the end of the book, at the end of this brief, compact, understandable, and digestible letter to Titus, we find that Titus is not alone. Think about, just let your mind kind of wonder. Titus is not alone. He's with Paul, not at this moment, but he's been with Paul. He knows Artemas. He knows Tychius. He knows Zenas the lawyer. He knows Apollos. He knows Timothy. He knows Luke. All of these other names that we know ourselves just from reading the New Testament, Titus knows these people. Can you imagine the church services that they've had when they were all together, coming together as one body? And you imagine the trainings that they had. And some of these names, we don't know anything about them. And that could be true about any of the letters in the New Testament. We have these names and perhaps very little, like Zenas. We don't know anything about him other than he was a lawyer and obviously called Zenas the lawyer to distinguish him from other people who had the name Zenas. But my point is, Paul or Titus, he's not alone. He's surrounded by other men. A plurality of elders, and I would go so far as to say that according to chapter 3, verse 13, Zenas the lawyer and Apollos are actually present physically with Titus. Because when Paul writes this letter to Titus, at the end he says, "Send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey with haste." That means, and the letter's not written to Zenas, it's not written to Apollos, because they're there, but they're going to leave. As soon as Titus got this letter, as soon as Titus read this letter, he went and got Zenas and Apollos and says, "Paul says you need to go with haste." They're not even going to be here for the point of establishing elders and putting things in order. There is a lot that is going on here. But make no mistake about it, Titus is not alone. He's not a lone ranger. He doesn't have a Western mentality of independence. Very much so a mentality of interdependence. Always a plurality of elders serving with the duties of oversight along with other elders. Again, the purpose verse is our text. "For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." Now let me read it from the original NIV. There's a revised, but the original NIV says it this way: "The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." Now, typically, when we're studying a letter of the New Testament, we would go to the book of Acts, which is a history book, and we would get some more information. We don't have that in Acts. For one reason or another, it's not in Acts. This story has no backdrop given to us in that history book of Acts. But what we do know, and what we do see from the text, is that Paul was with Titus in Crete with all of these other men. Paul seemingly had established a church in every city on the island of Crete. Don't know for how long they had been there. Don't know how much work they had done. We're not given that information. But we are to assume, if not right out know from the text, that Paul has left. You know, Paul didn't write the letter and then give it to Timothy or to Titus face to face. Paul left. He said this. He said this as much. I have left you in Crete. Now, think about it. Churches are being established. People are coming to know the Lord. God is doing a great work, along with a lot of persecution, and we'll get to that. And something comes up, and Paul has to leave. It must have been super important. But Paul left. And Paul left Titus in Crete to do these two things that we've already mentioned, to set in order those things that are lacking or left unfinished. And number two, to appoint elders as I directed you. This letter to Titus, this postcard or post-it note, sticky note, it's very brief, it's very compact, it's very understandable and digestible. And I'm sure that Titus was glad to get this letter because it confirmed things that Paul had already told him. You see that? I'm not making this story up or trying to create something that's not here. He says at the end of verse 5 that you're going to do these things as I have commanded you. That means when the need arose for Paul to leave Crete, whatever that need was, we don't know. But he told Titus, now I'm going to leave you here. And perhaps, if the storyline is accurate, I'm going to leave Zenas and I'm going to leave Apollos. And you're going to set these things in order. And you're going to finish what we started. And you're going to appoint elders. And you're going to do all of these things. And he might have been saying, oh, I wish I had something to write all this down because this is really good information, Paul. But I'm going to forget some of these things. Perhaps that would have been me at least, right? And so Paul is verbally telling Titus, I want you to get a picture of it. Paul is verbally in the physical presence of Titus telling him, now I've got to go. This has come up. So you are the person. You are the man. You are the evangelist that is going to finish what we started. And here's what that's going to look like. You need to do this, 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 da 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 da. And then you're going to leave and join me and we're going to winter in Nicopolis. Titus did not receive new information, is what I'm wanting us to understand. Titus was not receiving new information. It was not the first time that he had heard these things. Titus wasn't on the island of Crete going, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? How are we going to deal with all these issues? And then somebody, Tychius or Artemis comes running and says, hey, this is from Paul. Oh, thank God, I had no idea what I was supposed to do. Titus already had direction. He already had a clear understanding of what he was to do. But the letter not only gives him things that are written down, but it serves as a deputizing of Titus so that all the churches in Crete know that Titus is picking up where I left off. As far as you're concerned, he's Paul. As far as you and the churches of Crete, this is Paul, and Titus is doing my bidding. He's working for me. And this is the letter that says, you are, if you will, a deputy. You are doing the work of an evangelist because I've left you in Crete for this reason. But Titus is no novice. Titus is a disciple of Jesus Christ. To Titus, a true son in our common faith. Titus is not a new minister. He's been with Paul for how long? Don't know. But he's been with Titus for, Titus has been with Paul for a while. They have collectively, and these other names and others that aren't listed, they have traveled around and planted churches. Titus has seen this. Titus has been involved. Maybe this is the first time that Titus is left to finish what was started, but Titus is not a new Christian. He's not a novice. He knows what he's doing. He's been instructed on what the loose ends were to tie up. He's now been given these Cliff Notes, the Reader's Digest version of what he was already told. And again, this is not just a personal letter to Titus. This is a pastoral letter to the churches in Crete to help support who Titus is and what his job is to do, which again is to set in order things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I command you. We don't know where Paul had to go. We don't know what emergency came up, what need arose. We don't know what process Paul had already been in. I heard and have read preachers and commentators who look at this and say, appoint elders, and then within that statement say, there's a whole lot more to it, not just appointing elders, and so he just didn't say all of that, as I've heard other preachers say. He just didn't say all of that. But there's a whole process of training and examination and appointing and so on and testing and so on and so forth. There's a whole process, and there is, and some of you know that firsthand, there's a process for men to come to the place of eldership and to serve along others that are in that plurality of elders. But here, we don't have that process. That process, I want to submit to you, has already been happening. When Paul was there, when all of the men were there, along with Titus, they were doing these things, establishing churches, talking to men, training men, educating men, seeing how God had called men to serve, and so on and so forth. And then, out of nowhere, it seems, Paul's got to go. All right, Titus, you are left to wrap up what we started. I want to suggest to you that they were very close to the end. They were very close to the end to set in order the things that are lacking. Doesn't seem like there was a whole lot of things that were lacking. And I say that why? Because Titus doesn't have a lot of time. See, Titus isn't the pastor of the church in Crete, which I've often just referred to him as. Titus wasn't the pastor in Crete. Titus was left to be an evangelist, a church planter, to finish what they had started. He's not going to be there with these men who are eventually appointed as elders. Why not? Where's he going? He's going to winter with Paul in Nicopolis, or however you pronounce that. Somebody correct me later. Not right now. You can correct me later on how to say that. But there were three of those, by the way. This is probably the one in Greece. They're going to winter there. They're on a timeline. Things need to be finished. Imagine all of those in what I call the Paul's apostolic band. Zenas, Apollos, Titus, Timothy, all of them, whomever, they were there, they were working, they were doing all of this. It seems to me that quite a bit of work had been done. And there were just a few things to wrap up. And as soon, Titus, as soon as you get this letter, I know you could use the help of Zenas and Apollos, but send them on their next journey with haste. Verse 13. And in verse 12, he says, whichever one, I don't know who I'm going to send to you, are Artemis or Tychius, but be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to winter there. They're on a timeline. Winter is approaching. Things need to be done. Elders need to be appointed. There's no way this was done willy-nilly. It seems by all stretch, it seems by all reason of Scripture, that the process that they had been in training and examining and processing men for eldership in every city had been going on for some time. And Titus is tasked with the responsibility to finish it up. Not to stay there, not to be their long-term pastor, but to finish up what was lacking. Now, I have already said, and I'll say in closing, I've already said that I was drawn to the book of Titus particularly because of the content of chapter 1 and the situation that this church is in with their men and needing to appoint elders. I was very much drawn to this as I said, well, Lord, it looks like you've given me 10, 12 weeks. What do you want me to preach? And I was immediately drawn to the book of Titus. But as I've studied over the last several weeks and unpacking really what's going on here, it's uncanny to me the fit for the need here at Jasper. Because the process of eldership has already started here. If I might review your history from my understanding, disaffiliated with the PCUSA, you entered into as a mission church with the PCA. Reverend T.E. Dawson was here for a while serving as the mission pastor until February of 2020. In 2021, you joined another denomination, leaving the PCA, and that it was the Evangel Presbytery in November of 21. And Pastor Joe led in, I'm astounded, 50 weeks of Saturdays. 50 Saturdays of elder training. I'm astounded at the weightiness, at the weightiness and involvement of those who participated in that. Men like Daryl and Greg and Rick, and I think those are the three. If there's someone else, then forgive me or say it out loud, correct me now. But you went through that training. Now, being trained doesn't mean that you're going to be ordained as an elder. But the training must be there. And here's the uncanny parallel. You're left to sort out, what do we do now? Paul left Titus in Crete to finish what had been started. I don't know why God had things go the way that they have for here. I don't even pretend to understand my own journey individually, let alone yours individually or yours collectively. So please, I'm not imposing anything here. But I am saying that God is sovereign. And that God has led this church through some difficult waters. And to have men who are trained, who haven't been examined or ordained or appointed, is very, very much what is going on in the book of Titus. And I didn't understand that when I first began to read it. And again, why verse 5? Aren't you glad verse 5 is all we're dealing with? We don't have 6 through 9 to follow. You know, you're like, oh my gosh. So, very, very similar situation. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Again, I don't pretend to understand and know how this is going to work out, but I do know that it worked out for the church of Crete. And the word of God had application for those churches in Crete between 62 and 64, and it has direct application to First Presbyterian Church in Jasper. Almost said Kentucky, Jasper, Indiana. May God's word who had been preached go to our hearts and bless us. Father God, thank you for this word.